I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
But if this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you give in and cry, to live and let die,
So Isabella, my 22-year-old, who works at Fox, she's like an intern slash production assistant. She wants to have dinner last night. I said, okay, where do you want to go? She said, let's go to Elio's. I know you like Elio's up on 2nd Avenue, 84th Street. Elio used to be the maitre d' at Elaine's, you know, so he continues that tradition. Very much of an Elaine's kind of vibe there in Elio's. So I go walking in, the place is packed. There's 20 people outside waiting to get in. The place is packed, so Isabel and I kind of, you know, squeeze our way in to go see the maitre d'.
Hey, Geraldo.
I turn around, who is it? It's Sir Paul McCartney.
Come on.
There with Lady McCartney, with Nancy Chevelle, his wife.
That's great.
And so I went over to him, and you can imagine in that packed place what a scene that was.
Yeah.
It was so fun to see him. I hadn't seen him in a while, and I've known him for, I figured it out, since 1971. So I've known him for, what is that, 44 years?
Yeah.
And I've known him through, you know, our lives have gone through so many changes over the years. But to see him was just delightful. It really was. We had a nice conversation. I love Nancy Chevelle, his wife, Lady McCartney. And she's made him so happy and so relaxed. They were heading over, and they had their children with them. So it was interesting. They have a son who's 23 and some of the other kids, and Isabella was with me. And they were heading off to see the U2 concert right here at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
And so I guess Jimmy Fallon was also there. Alicia Keys was also there, the place packed. I think they're doing 8 nights. U2 is doing something like that, a week at the Garden. But it was such a delight to run into Sir Paul, who could not have been nicer. It really was just so pleasant. So I sent a shout out to him.
Does Isabella get as freaked out that it's him, or is it as big of a deal for her? Because she's like, you know, a totally different generation.
It's a totally different generation. She totally gets who he is,
right?
Obviously. And she's a music fan and listens to Beatles music all the time. You know, a lot of her generation does. But she's been around, you know, big names whole life. So she doesn't, I mean, she grew up with Bon Jovi's kids and Springsteen's kids out in Monmouth County, and then to go to Spence here or go to school here in New York. And there's plenty of big names, plenty of bold-faced names. But she's very pleasant, my daughter is, and beautiful. And it was just a wonderful, just a great vibe, a great New York moment. It's almost like with all the noise around us, everything stopped and it was just the two families kind of chatting. It was very, very nice.
And what is it about your generation, all you guys around the same age, late 60s, early 70s, and you all look great. And I'm not just saying that because you're sitting across from me. Like, Paul looks great. You look great. I mean, a lot of these guys who are in their early 70s look fantastic.
I think the difference is you could go one of two ways back in that day. Remember, physical fitness was a big part of life, but so was drug consumption. And there were the people who just tipped. You know, they just went, and generally speaking, were people who were not working hard. They had either, they were gifted with wealth, or for one reason or another, they didn't get into the working grind, and they allowed the tenor of the times to define physically who they were. Because if you don't preserve yourself in your 20s and 30s and 40s, you can't then redeem yourself later. People who lose a lot of weight late in life, they tend to look like, it's a drained sack.
Yeah, right.
But he's kept himself well. He's been performing consistently.
He's been a vegan his whole life.
I don't know about his dietary habits, but I do know that he is as commanding on stage now. Jagger's
unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
I saw the concert from Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago. He's moving around like he did 40 years
Amazing.
Ago.
Amazing. Yeah. And Paul is playing the guitar that way. It was just wonderful. So then we get home. And Erica shows me the note. We've been waiting. Today, I'm leaving early because I'm going to pick up Sol, our almost 10-year-old. So we've been waiting for a note. We're desperate to see her. She's in sleepaway camp for 4 weeks. This is the end of the fourth week. Finally, tomorrow, we're going to pick her up. So there's two notes from Sol waiting. So Erica, my beautiful wife, shows me one of the notes, the first note. So the heading is, I love camp. Dear Mom and Dad, guess what? I met a guy at the DJ social and he likes me, exclamation point. His name is Aiden. He even asked me to the black and white social, which is a very fancy dinner with a slow dance after it. I miss you very much, XOXOXOXO.
That's great.
So, I mean, she's 10 years old and I have to hear about meeting Aiden.
Right.
And there's a slow dance after it.
And I see you're mad about it, actually.
I mean, it is... You know, I've gone through with Isabella is now 22.
Right.
Simone is now almost 21. And one of the things about being the father of then teenage girls is you've got to have a certain intimidating presence when it comes to the boyfriends coming around. So I've always tried to,
shine up the gun when they come in.
Shine up the gun. Certainly these guns, the guns that you part of your body there. But now... That's the thing about having children late in life. It's so presumptuous. The presumption is that you're going to be around to intimidate the boyfriends during that teenage year. So that's why I'm hanging in there. One thing some other personal things I want to talk about. But I was very, very pleased to see a jobs report come in that was historic in many ways. The Labor Department saying that unemployment, people seeking unemployment benefits fell to 255,000, the lowest level since November 1973. So people seeking unemployment benefits, the lowest level since November 1973. And if it were adjusted for the growth in the population we've had since 1973, they say this could be an all-time low of people seeking unemployment benefits, which shows how strong the jobs market is in the country. And yet when I look at the Dow is off 32. So how is it that we have the best jobs report ever and the Dow is down 30? Maria Bartiromo is the one person who could sort this out for us. You knew her as the money honey. Now we're so pleased to have her from CNBC. We robbed her at Fox Business. She's my colleague. Erica actually worked with Maria back in the day at CNBC. Maria, welcome. What's going on?
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, if you don't know, nobody knows. So how is it that we have a jobs report like this and the Dow is kind of middling around?
Well, look, I think when you look at the economy, broadly speaking, yes, things are better from the dark days of 2007. But the truth is the economy is just sputtering along. I mean, you're talking about an economy that's growing at about 2-2.5%. Not great. We should be a lot farther along at this point in the cycle. You have a situation where wages have not moved. I mean, there's a debate right now in New York about raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, up from $8.75. It's going to $9 at the end of the year. And frankly, most people in America have not seen their wages move. They've been flat to down in the last 5 or 7 years. And so even though you see better headlines in terms of jobs, in terms of the economy, it's not trickling down to the average guy and gal out there because of wages. And so people are, they're sort of sitting on cash. They're worried about their job, their neighbor's job. When you have a situation where there's so much worry, people sit on cash. They don't spend it, and that's what we've got going on right now.
What's your, Maria Bartiromo, my esteemed guest and friend and colleague, What's your take on the $15 minimum wage? My feeling, let me just tell you my prejudice straight out. I think that the current wage, $8 and some odd in New York City, is way, way too low, that they have to pay more. That's my opinion. And people say it's going to cost jobs, that some people will cut back, some will go out of business. I just think if you can't pay a living wage with the income inequality that we have in this country, I am in favor of raising the minimum wage, not necessarily to $15, but dramatically. What does Mayor Bartiromo think?
Well, look, I think in the past we've seen incremental moves. It was $8 an hour, then it went to $8.75 an hour. Now it's expected to go to $9 by the end of the year. Going from $9 to $15 is a huge jump, and that will put certain businesses out of business. Today I had on the show an owner of four Burger Kings. He's a franchise owner of four different Burger Kings. He said, look, the bottom line is if I'm going to see my expenses, you know, skyrocket that much from $9 an hour to $15 for all my employees, I have to cut jobs. I have no wiggle room. Something's got to give. It's either raising the price of a burger or cutting back on jobs. So I do think we have to be careful. I agree with you, and I would call it equal opportunity, not income equality, but opportunity equality. I don't think people really out there are expecting everybody in the country to make the same exact money and have income equality. But I do think people want opportunity equality. They want to know that they have an opportunity to rise, they have an opportunity to make more money, and get a better life for themselves. That I 100% agree with. And I don't know that this is necessarily the way to get there, because if you actually are going to see cutting jobs, then you're actually shooting yourself in the foot. So, you know, we'll have to see. I do think the minimum wage should go up, but incrementally, not skyrocket to 15, so that it's a shocker for certain small businesses.
So would you buy stock today?
Well, look, I think when you look around the world, you have to have money in stocks in America. Because you're talking about the corporate, the multinationals in America that are benefiting from growth all around the world. Yes, we've got an economy that is sort of sputtering two steps forward, one step back, but you've also got interest rates at rock bottom levels. There are very, very few alternatives for people's money. So, yes, I would say you want to pick and choose your opportunities, but you do have to be exposed to the stock market in America. Look, everything has been going very well. I'm not saying there's not going to be a huge sell-off over the near term. There may very well be a big sell-off because earnings for the second quarter are coming in largely below expectations. Today we've got another blow up in Caterpillar. That stock is down. Yesterday it was Qualcomm and Apple. So the earnings for the second quarter are showing some distress. So I do think at some point we'll get a sell-off. But I think you have to use that sell-off, that decline in stock prices, to get into this market. Because at the end of the day, you look around the world, there is no alternative to buying stocks in America with interest rates where they are. You're just not getting any return anywhere else.
Maria Bartiromo, sage advice. I agree with it. Thanks, Maria. Thanks a million. She used to call Erica Toots, and she worked the phones like crazy. She's a great reporter. I mean, she's not like just a pretty face. I mean, she's constantly reporting. I love her energy, and I love her advice as well. I'll tell you one more story. Hogs and Heifers is closing. You know, that's like a country...
Yeah.
Biker bar. I remember getting wasted there, riding my Harley on the sidewalk in front of it, and then going on the bar. The celebrities go on the bar and dance. Actually, Sir Paul was one of the famous ones who danced on that bar. And Julia Roberts, they still have her bra 34B there, you know, because the girls give up their bras when they dance. They're closing it. You know, the whole thing is being gentrified. You know, the real estate market here is so crazy that they're asking some ridiculous rent that they can't afford. So the meatpacking district is losing hogs and heifers. It's good because it's just scandals. Well, no, it's not good. It's bad. And I wish everybody could experience it. I did, and I'm glad that I emerged unscathed.
But your secrets will go to the grave now.
My secrets will go.
Because the place is closing, right. Yeah.
I'm going to take your calls on the rise in minimum wage momentarily. I just want to note one crime that just happened. Five people found stabbed to death in Tulsa, Oklahoma. One of the victims called 911 but then did not speak, so the phone was off the hook. We'll be, I'm sure, getting the audio, the grim audio of that. But you have two male relatives, 18 and 16 years old, who were arrested for stabbing to death five members of their family. You won't hear about it much because there's no terrorism involved and no illegal immigrant involved. So you'll probably it'll just one of those things will pass that people will tisk tisk for 2 seconds and move on. But that's the bulk of what's happening to us as a nation when it comes to crime. All right, now back to the minimum wage. You know, they're proposing now, and it's a major victory for the activists at the fast food places. They now have a track to a $15 minimum wage. Right now, the minimum wage is about $18,000 a year, so this almost doubles it. So it gives people truly a living wage, even if they are flipping burgers or doing whatever. What is that impact? Let me start. You can call me what you think about it, 866-RL. This is the first topic I'm taking calls on, and then I've got a lot more to bring your way. But let's start here with Daniel on Long Island. Thanks for calling 866-RL. Daniel, what's on your mind, buddy?
Okay. Give me a second. I'm making $14 an hour.
Uh-huh. What do you do? Do you mind if I ask?
I drive an ambulance.
Okay.
And it's a shame that I have to get my license and all that. And you flip burgers. You don't even got to go to school to make 15. You just went right past us.
I see. But don't you think that if the Burger King kid gets $15 an hour, that your salary will similarly be increased, Daniel?
Well, the mayor said that our pay is going to be frozen to 2020.
So you're going to get $14 an hour for the next 5 years?
Right.
Well, that doesn't sound fair to me. Do you get overtime?
Yeah, we get overtime, but now.
And when you get overtime, is it time and a half, or is it they give you straight
time? It's time and a half, but you got to make the overtime. But all I had to get special licenses. I hear you, man.
I don't think that's fair.
It's costing me money. Some guy that's immigrant or whatever get there and say, oh, I'm going to get 15. Doing nothing, just flipping burgers.
I got you. I hear you. I think that there is, and I appreciate the call. I think there is an essential unfairness there, but I do think that a rising tide lifts all boats. I mean, that may be naive, Noam, but I think that it is inevitable. Just the same thing when it was my first minimum wage was $1 an hour. I remember when they raised it to $1.25. It was a 25% increase. It was a different lifestyle.
And don't you think in the end maybe you get a better worker because it's somebody who can go home, maybe meet the rent a little bit easier, not as afraid and worried about bringing home the cash to take care of their kids?
And there is also this. Remember, the proponents of the $15 minimum wage, and I'm not saying $15 is the appropriate number, but I think some raise is inevitable. If you're getting $8.75 an hour, you're also getting food stamps and all of the Medicaid, all that kind of federal subsidies and benefits. So the taxpayer is subsidizing McDonald's or Burger King. You got to look at it that way. They're not paying the wage. Therefore, the worker is still below the poverty level. Therefore, the worker qualifies for various federal and state programs. Therefore, the taxpayer is subsidizing that worker rather than the employer. You dig my drift there? I understand that burgers may be too cheap right now. They may have to be more expensive. I get that. But I just think, I keep coming back to the breakfast thing. It's true that on the Upper East Side, the coffee shops are more expensive. But when you get a bagel, a large coffee, and a small coffee, and it costs me now $8.11 this morning, that's an hour's gross pay for breakfast. And then you have to have lunch, and then you have to have dinner. And then what if you have kids? Or what if you want to help your parents out? What if you want to save for college? You know, you can't. If burgers are too cheap, they're too cheap. You got to pay people a living wage. All right, I'll take your calls on that and so much more to talk about. Amy Winehouse.
27 when she died.
27. So good. I mean, 27, isn't that a lot? I mean, don't a lot of them die at 27?
Yeah, there's this weird club. It's like the curse of 27 if you're a rocker. All these people who died at 27, something about that age. You have Jimi Hendrix, Kurt Cobain, Janis Joplin. Jim Morrison is a member of that club. Brian Jones, one of the original Rolling Stones. And it goes on from there.
All
27. And the list is much longer. Some of these are rock bands you haven't heard of, but they're, you know, famous overseas or whatever. All 27.
At 27, I was just starting at ABC News. 27.
Eyewitness News?
Yeah. Huh. Eyewitness News, 27. But that's amazing. What is that? It's just so creepy that they were all that age. Speaking about creepy, I'm going to get back to the topic du jour, but Democrats now, they're worried about Hillary Clinton. Everyone, all the attention on the Republicans and Donald Trump particularly, he was down on the border today. But this survey, I think you mentioned it yesterday, now they have Hillary losing to Scott Walker in Colorado, the swing state of Colorado, by 9 points. Losing by at least 6 points to any of the top-tier candidates on the Republican side in Iowa. So, man, oh, man, Hillary Clinton not looking so well. Okay, I'm going to take a couple of calls on the minimum wage, then I'm going to move on. I'm going to go first in the Bronx from Carl. What's up, Carl?
Hi, how you doing, Geraldo?
Excellent. Thanks for calling.
Okay, I want to tell you something. This $15 wage, everybody thinks it's a victory. It's not. They're cutting their own throats because they don't need all these kids, all these workers. A lot of them are going to get laid off because most of these are franchises. They're small businesses. They have one or two stores. And everybody said, we're going after McDonald's. You're not. You're going after the small business owner.
But what about the fact that the burger's too cheap? I mean, if they are letting people sweat for $8.75 an hour, maybe the burger's got to go from $3 to $4 or four to five, whatever it is.
I don't see it as an issue, but they can run it a lot cheaper. Now, this is a starting job. When I first started to work, I got 75 cents an hour as an usher in the RKO Royal in the Bronx.
Oh, I remember paying 25 cents, though, for 25 cents for the movies in those days. You got three features in Williamsburg. Carl, thanks. James on Long Island. What's up, James?
Geraldo, I'd just like to say I think it's going to hurt the illegal aliens more than anybody.
How so? They get 10 bucks an hour in Jersey.
Now just
they get 10 bucks an hour plus lunch.
A couple weeks ago, you were talking about if a bus pulled up in Brooklyn and said, listen, I'm going to hire some full bus for $8.75 an hour to pick crops.
Right.
You said the illegal aliens are going to get on the bus. The white people, the Americans aren't.
Right. I still believe that.
If the same bus pulls up to the corner and says, I'm paying $15 an hour to pick the crops, who do you think is going to get on the bus then?
I think you'll get some Americans on that bus. I agree.
Yeah, so they're going to push the illegal aliens out of the way so they can get on the bus.
Well, if that's the way it is, that's the way it is. But still, you got to pay a living wage, and it's not a living wage.
No,
$8.75 an hour is not a living wage, not for a person who heads a family, for goodness sake. It's okay for a kid 17 years old.
No, I agree totally 100%, but I'm looking at the point where
I think it's an excellent point.
Illegal aliens.
I think it's an excellent point, James, and I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Here's Mark in Jersey. What's up, Mark?
Hi, Orlando. How are you?
Good, man. Good. What are you thinking about?
Hi. So you said you spoke to that reporter before, and she was saying that you should raise the minimum wage so that people should be able to live a better life. Well, I think it's a vicious cycle because if you can raise the minimum wage to $15, which is almost double. Everybody have no choice but to raise the price on everything else.
Right, I agree.
And you're back at the beginning.
Well,
it's a vicious cycle.
I think that if you pay someone a living wage, everything's not going to. All of that won't be reflected in price increases. I just think that regardless of those kinds of consequences, you may not employ someone at a rate that is unfair to the sweat that they are putting into the job. You know, it's just not fair. It's just not fair that the minimum wage has not been increased since 2009. And would you agree with that?
I agree with you. $8 is way too cheap. But $15, I think.
The president wanted $10.10 federal, and that would have been a good. And if the people had gone for that a year or two ago, it would have helped. All right, I got to go, Mark. I appreciate the call. Here's Kenny in Staten Island. What's up, Kenny? What are you thinking about, buddy?
The whole thing with the $15 an hour.
Yeah.
Okay. Remember years ago, ATMs, automated teller machines?
Sure.
A whole bunch of tellers got laid off. Well, same thing's going to happen here. They're going to introduce machines. When you walk in, you'll key in the same way you do with an ATM machine. Your order, you'll pay for the credit card, you'll get a number, you walk up to the front, bam. Then they'll have machines, like some of the Burger Kings do already, cooking the burgers and doing everything else. You're going to see people, well, big companies and the engineers will develop machines.
I think that's an excellent point. I think you're absolutely right. And you know what? I don't care. I don't care because that doesn't, and I appreciate the call, Kenny, that doesn't impact my basic point. My basic point is one of equity, fairness, patriotism, the American way. You cannot employ someone for a salary that is intrinsically unfair. You can't. I'm not saying what is fair. I don't know. I'm not an expert. I can't tell you 15 bucks is it. And I do note for the record, aren't they phasing it in? Do you know how long is
it? Yeah,
so
the first year it'll go up to, I think it's 10-something the first year. It'll be 2018 before it's $15. And you should also know, in some ways it's an experiment because it's only fast food workers who work in outlets that have more than 30 restaurants. So it's only the biggest fast food chains. It's not going to affect the smaller ones like some of the smaller burger places that have come up in Manhattan. They won't have to pay 15 bucks.
I still believe a rising tide lifts all ships, and I think that once that wage will become a prevailing wage. I believe that. I appreciate that others are calling on this. My point is clear. I don't believe, and I hate even using the expression now that I've thought about it. But when I said slave wages. You know, slavery was free. When people had to get paid after the Civil War, the price of cotton went up and the price of clothing went up. You can't exploit labor just to suppress prices. If labor is being exploited, then prices are either too low or someone's making too much profit. That's just an essential fairness. And I appreciate that everyone wants a call, but I have a couple of points I want to make before, because I have to leave. As I said, I have to go pick up Saul, so Noam's going to take over. But two points I want to make about yesterday. We had all the stories of the overheated electricity in the tunnels, the commuting tunnels from New Jersey. 1 million riders a week on those commuter tunnels. They were delayed between 60 and 90 minutes yesterday. Rush hour. In the morning, because of the trains had to be restricted to one track because of this infrastructure decay. I want to know how people think now about Chris Christie's decision 5 years ago to stop construction on that new rail tunnel under the Hudson. Now, every day, a New Jersey commuter is delayed on that commute. Remember that decision. Remember how you applauded that feisty, energetic commitment that Christie made. I'm stopping these politicians who wallowing, taking all the public money. This is another one of those projects. So as you ride on Route 1 and 9 in New Jersey, or as you take the train and it doesn't work because the electricity is bad or the tunnel is leaking or one thing or the other, remember, in 2010... Chris Christie killed the tunnel that would have doubled peak commuter service capacity from New Jersey to Manhattan. Remember, and Chris Christie's running for president now. The other man running for president, and I have to speak about it, I'll talk about it in the final segment here, Trump going to the border. Trump wants to build a wall, a multi-billion-dollar wall, along the entire 2,000-mile length of the Mexican border. To which I respond, a two-word answer to Trump's multi-billion-dollar taxpayer-funded wall on the southern border, El Chapo. So Chris Christie did not build, or did not allow to be built, the new rail tunnel that would have doubled the capacity for the million or so New Jersey commuters using the rails every week. He did not build that tunnel. Now you have Donald Trump down on the border. He wants to build a wall. But this is what I want to talk about. Maybe for the rest of the show, Noam's going to field your calls at 866 Geraldo. But remember, I've just come from El Chapo's notorious prison escape tunnel down there. And it makes clear, that tunnel makes clear how useless, how absolutely useless, may make you feel better, how useless Donald Trump's proposed million-dollar, multi-million, multi-billion-dollar, multi-billion-dollar, nearly 2,000-mile-long wall on the nation's southern border, the border with Mexico, would be. Now, remember, El Chapo's tunnel was 3 stories deep and 1 mile long. It was an epic clandestine tunnel used by this notorious drug fugitive to escape Mexico's most secure prison. He burrowed under fields and farms, even under a busy railroad, and he secretly removed 2,000 tons of dirt, and he managed to emerge, as you recall from last week, right under the one tiny area in his cell that could not be seen by the surveillance cameras. So you have this criminal enterprise demonstrating beyond a doubt the immense skill of people like El Chapo and the other smugglers, and how futile, therefore, a hugely expensive wall would be to stop the professional drug dealers and rapists and et cetera that Trump, Mr. Trump says are pouring over the southern border. You have no doubt in my mind that El Chapo and the millions of other, or the thousands of other, or the hundreds of other, or the dozens of other El Chapos, let's say dozens of other El Chapos, will never be stopped by a wall. They invented the smuggler's tunnel. They're going to tunnel under it, Trump's wall, or they're going to climb over it, Trump's wall. Trump's going to build the wall 100 feet up. The Mexican drug fugitives will build ladders 101 foot high. You know who it's going to stop? It's going to stop Juan and Maria, the poor, eager, otherwise law-abiding immigrants who are seeking to come here looking for a better life for themselves and their children. That's who it's going to stop. It's going to stop the amateurs. It's not going to stop the pros. So this is to Christie and to Trump. Wouldn't it be better to use these vast sums, the sums that you need to finish Trump's wall on the south border, instead to finish the Second Avenue subway? Instead to repair those vital repairs needed for the existing railway tunnels under the Hudson, or the new tunnel that Christie stopped, or the thousands of other necessary public works projects from one corner of this country to the other, begging for federal funds? Doesn't it make sense? Doesn't it make sense to you? What are you going to build a wall? Who are you going to stop? It's ridiculous. So Noam's going to talk about Christie, talk about Trump on the border. What time is Trump going to make his announcement?
It's this afternoon.
All right. Now, Trump riding high despite everything. Looks like he survived the POW flap without a real apology. But as with Hillary Clinton, do you notice how high Trump's negatives are? Trump and Clinton kind of leading the league. And Jeb Bush, not that far behind in terms of unpopularity or negatives. They're over 50%, Trump and Clinton. Jeb Bush just under 50%. That's a lot of people who don't like him. You know, I have no idea where this is going. Do you have any earthly idea?
I do. I think there is a roadway, a canal of some sort for somebody who we're not thinking of right now. I mean, it could be somebody who's in the race, who's getting really low numbers, to walk in and take this race from them, because I'm not sure that these guys are going to be around come primary time.
Well, Michelle Bachmann and Herman Cain were leading at this point last cycle.
Right, didn't work out for them.
Who? Yeah. Who? But I look and I see and I wonder. I guess I like Scott Walker. Scott Walker is kind of like, he's the governor who really could do it, unlike Chris Christie, who could not do it when you analyze his 6-year record as governor of New Jersey. What did he accomplish, really? The pension plan is a bust. The credit rating has been degraded. At least Scott Walker has made things work in Wisconsin. He and John Kasich in Ohio. Jump.
You know, when you listen to Amy Winehouse, you realize, like, what a shame, man. What a tragedy to die at 27. I mean, That first album was spectacular. So we're talking about Governor Christie and that tunnel that he never built. The train tunnel that would have connected us, New York to New Jersey, those Hudson tunnels. You know, the original tunnels are like 100 years old. And now we, New Jersey Transit commuters over the last 3 days have had these ridiculous delays. You know, remember back, I mean, some of this is before I was even born, but remember back to the 70s when they were trying to convince all those people in the suburbs to get out of their cars and take public transportation. And you have to suggest that it was probably one of the more successful campaigns to get people to take public transportation, a bus, a train, get them into the city, out of the city, you know, into work, out of work. And but all along, they haven't maintained these tunnels that take you in. And it was Governor Christie who sunk what was going to be the two wide new tunnels that would have made it a whole lot faster to get in and out of the city. We wouldn't be talking about wiring that's some of it just years and, you know, decades old that's fallen apart in front of us. And then you also wonder when you think those tunnels are hundreds years old or 100 years old, that what else can go wrong in there? I mean, that kind of makes me frightened as well. So he sunk the deal, what was it, 4 years ago now, 3 years ago? Because one of the things that Governor Christie promised when he ran the first time is that he would never raise taxes on New Jerseyans. And to pay for that project, they would have had to raise the gas tax. And Governor Christie didn't want that. His star was shining. And he had the White House clearly on his radar. And he didn't want to be this guy who raised taxes on New Jerseyans because he knew it would come back to him as he made the GOP run for the White House. Of course, lots of other stuff got in the way. The GWB scandal and some other things. But so here we are without this tunnel. And then on top of that, by the way, the number here, I don't have it memorized again. So if somebody could write it on the screen for me, that would be great. We'll let you call in when I have the number. One day I'll actually have it memorized. 866-HERALDO. But what is that? 437-2536. But if you could write that up for me, that'd be great. So it's 1-866-HERALDO. So you have that part where he sunk the tunnel. But this is an interesting bill, and I know it's totally political. And let me start off by saying, and by the way, this is Noam. Geraldo had to run out of here. Let me say that I voted for Christie the second time around when he ran for governor. It was almost 2 years ago. I voted for him, and very happily, I thought he had done a good job. But now he's running for the White House, and there are some state Senate Democrats in New Jersey. Not only this tunnel thing, but the state Senate Democrats in New Jersey are pushing this bill today. At this very moment, they're having a hearing on whether the governor should have to leave office while he makes a White House run. Whether it's we should be paying the taxpayers. We have to pay for his security every time he leaves the state, which is like, you know, 4 or 5 days out of the week, he's not even in New Jersey anymore because he's out running for the White House. Why are we being saddled with that, the taxpayer? And I know that this campaign by the state Senate Democrats in New Jersey is completely political. It's Ray Lesniak. He's a state senator there. State Senator Loretta Weinberg, who has a long history of hating Governor Christie. And so I understand what they're just trying to smack back at him. But maybe they have a point. Why are New Jersey taxpayers paying for his security as he traipses around the country in his White House run? 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Going to take your calls all morning long, right up until the 12 o'clock hour. And, of course, the favorite duo, Curtis and Kuby, take over the airwaves here. Andrew is in New Jersey. And, Andrew, now you're on 77 WABC. Good morning, Andrew. Hello, Andrew.
Andrew. Hey, yeah, I'm a video journalist, and I was at a press conference. Your mayor doesn't like me, a Fobo, but I might see her tonight. But
She's not my mayor. I live in Jersey City, but go ahead.
I support that law, but it has to work both ways, Democrat or Republican. But I just want to say the great former mayor of New York City said, Mayor Potts, he learned when he was a kid from his mother, you can't spend money that you don't have. So Christie's being realistic, anyone could spend and run up the debt. And I want to say at the press conference, everyone was dumping on Christie, saying he cut taxes for the rich. But I said, when you say rich, don't you mean corporations? And doesn't that help create jobs in New Jersey? Giuliani cut taxes in New York, Reagan, Kennedy. The result.
Right, but I'm talking about this tunnel. New Jersey Transit riders, they had all these people. And Andrew, thanks so much for your call. New Jersey Transit and Amtrak, we need those tunnels. You know, it's Amtrak's busiest corridors from Boston down to Washington, D.C., and it's hampered by these tunnels that are 100 years old, and the wiring doesn't work, and you wonder what else could go wrong. And now looking back, at the time I think I might have been on Christie's side, but now looking back, boy, I think this is a huge mistake. And then on top of that, not only did he saddle us with this tunnel that now, if they even decide to start digging again, won't be ready for years, he's now giving us the tax bill, the governor is, for his security as he goes around the country in this White House bid that both you and I know ain't going to happen. It ain't. You know, it's not going to happen. It just isn't. He's not catching fire. I mean, you look at the polls, he's 9th or 10th. It just isn't happening. Ed, up in the Bronx. Ed, you're on 77 WABC.
Yeah, Norm. I'm really impressed with what Geraldo was talking about. I used to work in construction, and I remember in the 80s going over to Jersey when they were building up the West Side. You know, I remember the mayor of Hoboken was getting in trouble with Christie because of a development. It occurs to me that, you know, if you want to have real estate development in Jersey as opposed to in Manhattan, if you make sure that the commute to Manhattan is not easy, but it's a lot easier to get to Jersey City. In other words, it's always money.
Right.
And Christie and real estate development in Jersey, it's another aspect of this. But Geraldo was really brilliant by putting this together.
Well, I'm not here, you know, surprised to hear that Geraldo's brilliant. I think he's a smart guy. Of course, he signs my paycheck. So 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. Ralph is in New York. And Ralph, now you're on 77 WABC.
No, I'm good to talk to you. I never thought for one moment that Christie was presidential timber, never thought for one moment that he would fly in the Middle West and even in the on the other coast. I mean, I thought he was brash and abrasive to the point where he was obnoxious, and he's never listened to the common folk as much as he wants to present that to us. I never thought that he listened to the guy who would speak out at a meeting, at a town meeting, at one of those nice little things that he set up where someone would speak out. He'd notoriously just put them in their place. And, you know, that whole idea, and Trump has this disease also, that whole idea of just telling people off left and right, you know, it sounds good to the person who's used to all the rhetoric. But when you get down to it, it's a cover-up, Noam. It's a cover-up for someone who has no substance whatsoever.
Well, see, I disagree with you when it comes to Governor Christie. I think he's not as brash and crazy as Donald Trump is coming across over the last couple of weeks. But those Oprah moments with those town halls it's a spectacular idea on the part of his campaign. I mean, he looks like a genius inside those town halls. I mean, it looks like
Could I mention to you how when he fluctuates in the polls and you don't know where he stands and with the people, it's a sign of someone who we don't know what his true character is. And also, let me just mention one thing.
Sure.
Aesthetics play a role in politics. I won't mention the reason why, Christie. I think we can all figure it out why he's not appealing. But when they voted...
Are you suggesting because of his fatness? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. When they voted...
Does that really bother you that he's fat? I mean, I could care less.
It doesn't bother me, but I'm telling you something. Subconsciously, it bothers a lot of people. And you know something? If people that say it doesn't, they don't even know it's a factor.
Really?
If you look back at JFK way, way, way back in Nixon in 1960, on TV, JFK seemed to be superior, but on radio, Nixon won the debate hands down. Why? Because Kennedy was attractive and Nixon was a sullen, kind of a pale.
Right, and he was sweating, and I appreciate your call, Ralph. I don't want to go back to the fat argument because they tried that when John Corzine was governor and was running against Chris Christie. Remember those commercials where they showed Chris Christie getting out of a car, a Jeep, and they would show just how wide his waist was? And then New Jersey voters showed that they didn't care. They cared about the substance of the argument. I mean, I imagine there's some people who care that he's fat. But what I'm talking about is, why are we paying the tax bill? Why are we taxpayers, in New Jersey anyway, paying for him to go all over the country as he makes his White House run? And when I see these Senate Democrats putting up this bill that would suggest that the governor has to step down when he makes a run for president, and when I see how many days he's out of New Jersey, I don't think, at first I thought, well, it is all political. But now I start to think, well, maybe they're onto something, that you can't be effective as a lawmaker if you're not in New Jersey and if you're talking to crowds in New Hampshire and South Carolina and in Iowa. 1-866-437-2536. Peter is in Franklin. Where? What Franklin are you in? Franklin, New Jersey?
Yeah, Franklin Park, New Jersey.
All right. Frank, where's Franklin Park? I've never heard of Franklin Park.
It's south of New Brunswick.
Oh, okay. Well, welcome to 77
you know,
WABC.
Where the big fire is, we're not too far from that.
Ah, okay, okay.
Some of your comments there. First of all, the thing about the having Christie not go, you know, campaigning, you know, the Democrats are something else. I'll tell you that. They always come up with these ideas, but it's always them. Do you ever notice that? Where is the thing for Republicans coming up when there's a Democrat in office?
Well, it's all politics.
That shouldn't even be an issue to say that it's valid. When it's totally, totally political, that to me is just totally political. And then the other thing about the spending, you're saying there should be a tunnel and whatnot. I can't get over the waste of spending by the government. I'm just taking Solyndra an example. Look at the money wasted, totally wasted on that, and God knows what else is wasted. Let's get that wasted money spent.
Well, I think you're onto something there, Peter. I mean, absolutely. But the fact of the matter is I'm talking about this tunnel, which wouldn't have been a waste. A million people. Is it a million people a week use New Jersey Transit that come in through Penn Station? It's some astronomical number. So those commuters would tell you it's not a waste of tax dollars at all. Eddie on Staten Island. You're on 77 WABC.
Yeah, I think anybody running for office should have to resign. And the only reason the Democrats come up with this is because Hillary Clinton doesn't hold a political office right now. If she did, they wouldn't even be talking about it. And to get the tunnel...
Well, Eddie, I would suggest that I agree that it's politics here, but I think I think there's a good argument to say to any politician.
Country, you should have to resign. But I'll tell you how to build the tunnels, and it's real easy.
Okay.
All right? We stopped the foreign aid going overseas for 1 year. We could rebuild this whole country. This whole country. Israel alone gets $5 billion.
Well, Israel gets
God
the most.
Knows what we give to Egypt. You know what? It's just ridiculous, the money we give away, and none of these countries ever come to our aid when we're in a turmoil. When Hurricane Sandy came in, how many countries turned around and wanted to donate money back to us? Nobody.
Yeah, you're absolutely. Well, I don't. There were a few countries, but you're right. And you know, Israel gets by far the most aid of any country that we support overseas. And guess what? If this this Iran nuclear deal goes through, they'll get a whole lot more because that'll be part of the deal for them to keep quiet. Here's a little extra money. Here's some more money. So 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. Noam Layden in for Geraldo on 77 WABC. I think about all those commuters on New Jersey Transit. First of all, the price is going up 9% for commuters come October. So they're going to get hit with that, and then you can't even get people into the city on time because that tunnel is so old. And if Governor Christie hadn't sunk that deal to build that tunnel, we'd be well on the way to building it. And it was just a matter of raising the gas tax a little bit. But he wasn't going to do it because his had his eyes set on the White House, Governor Christie did. That, of course, was before the GWB scandal, which, rightly or wrongly, is still tainting his run for the White House. And now today, as we speak, there is a state Senate Democrats in New Jersey are pushing this legislation this morning. So New Jersey taxpayers would force, Governor Christie to step down from governor from Trenton, from the big house in Trenton, as he makes his White House run. They're upset politically. They just want to take a pot shot. For sure, that's part of it. But the other part of it is that it's New Jersey taxpayer dollars that are paying for his security every time he leaves the state. And you ask, well, is that the case for any of these candidates that are in the run? No, it's not. You have Scott Walker, the governor from Wisconsin, who just jumped into the race a couple weeks ago. He's reimbursing Wisconsin dollar for dollar everything that's done security-wise for him when he leaves Wisconsin. Now, remember, Christie now is probably out three, four, five days a week, is out of New Jersey. That's a lot of security costs because they're traveling all over the place. So should we be picking up the dime? I say no. And even though this bill is completely politically motivated by the part of the Democrats, I think they might be on to something. Paula is in New Jersey, and Paula, you're on 77 WABC. Paula.
In my call.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to tell you that I feel you are incorrect. First of all, you stated that Christie's a lawmaker. He's not. He's a governor. And like Obama, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And Clinton, I can't tell you the millions of dollars we spend protecting them. And I will tell you, all of this is politically motivated because not only am I annoyed at Geraldo for making a big deal always about Christie because he was inconvenienced by a bridge that backed up every day, but...
Well, but not like that backup. That was a backup done on purpose.
I mean. No.
What do you mean, no? That was right.
That Christie's the first person, and my taxes actually have gone down with him, he's the first person that has addressed the very corrupt Port Authority, which is how you started your program about the bridges and the tunnels. And I will tell you, my amount of money that I spend to go over the bridges has tripled in the last 5 years. He tried to address a corrupt, private, dual state agency, and this is why all of this is happening.
Yeah, but he did so. He put on his own buddy, David Wildstein, who was the guy behind the George Washington breach scandal. He's the guy, he appointed him to the Port Authority. That's a scandal right in there.
Authority. I'm not talking about the GW Bridge anymore. I'm talking about the corrupt Port Authority and the corrupt unions that have kept New Jersey where it is. And the last thing I'll say is that, honestly, Obama spent the entire time he was a lawmaker running for president as U.S. Senator, and then his entire presidency running for a second term. This would be an outrage if they made my governor step down because of this. And I will personally appeal it if no one else does.
All right. Well, thank you, Paula, very much for your call. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. The governor out of the state of New Jersey 3-5 days a week as he makes this White House run. Also talking about the fact that he sunk this transit tunnel that would have made it a whole lot easier for people riding New Jersey Transit in and out of the city every day to get here. But he sunk that tunnel because it would have meant raising the gas tax in New Jersey. And he didn't want that on his watch because one of his promises when he ran for governor was that he wasn't going to raise taxes in New Jersey. And, of course, even then he had an eye on a run for the White House. And so here we are with no tunnel, 3 days in a row of terrible service through that tunnel because it's just so damn old and nothing's working right. And on top of that, if you're in New Jersey, you're paying for his White House run, or at least the security detail as he makes his way around the country and isn't even in state to address that huge problem with New Jersey Transit. Oh, I was going to take your call, Ted, but I'm going to put you back on hold because that music is telling me I've got very little time to chat with you and I don't want to short you on whatever statement you want to make. So if you could put him back on hold for me, Crash, that would be great. And we'll get to your calls. 1-866-437-2536. I see there's a lot of interest in this. We're going to follow this because the Senate Democrats are discussing it right now in New Jersey. I don't think it stands a chance of passing. The governor would have to sign it. Talking about Governor Christie. There's two stories about Governor Christie today. And I want to get to both of them because, well, they're connected because it's Governor Christie. One, as we speak, State Senate Democrats in New Jersey pushing through today this legislation seeking to prevent New Jersey taxpayers from having to pick up the tab for state police security while Governor Christie campaigns for the Republican nomination for the White House. And while I am the first one to tell you that I know this bill is 100% political because the people sponsoring it are these two Democrats who hate Governor Christie's guts. And by the way, Governor Christie hates their guts. I mean, it's mutual. They do not like each other. I understand it's 100% political. But then when I started to read the bill, I said, well, wait a minute. Why are New Jersey taxpayers being saddled with this state police security, especially since other candidates in the race have their campaigns picking up that money? So you have Scott Walker, of course, the governor of Wisconsin, who's been so successful there and is doing pretty well in the polls, by the way. His campaign is reimbursing dollar for dollar the state of Wisconsin for any security costs associated with his presidential run outside of Wisconsin. That seems legitimate to me. And, you know, you remember when Governor Christie initially campaigned, was it now 6 years ago when he first ran for governor? He was the non-politician. You know, he was the guy who was going to get our money back and fight for us. And here he is. He doesn't seem to have a problem with taking money out of taxpayers' pocket. You know, I realize in the end it isn't billions of dollars, but it is millions when the year is over if he stays in the race up until the primaries. And if he starts to do well, of course, he'll be in it through the entire political season. And that's going to cost people a lot. And then he's out of state. So they want to push not only would he have to if this bill were to get passed, which it never will because the governor would have to sign it. But I think they're on to something. He'd have to not only pay back New Jersey for his security costs, but he would also have to step down as governor. So We're taking your calls on this. 1-866-HERALDO. 1-866-437-2536. And when we went to the break, Ted was nice enough to hold on. And so let's bring Ted back on. Ted, you're on 77 WABC.
Ted. Hey, it's Ted. How are you?
Sure. I'm doing good. Thank you.
Good. Hey, you know, here's something I think people need to remember about the tunnel deal, right? New Jersey was going to be responsible for any cost overruns in a long-term project. And you know as well as I do that, cost overruns happen. Overruns happen, right? And he kind of said, no, I'm not going to put New Jersey taxpayers on the hook, you know, for cost overruns. And that was, you know, part and parcel of his decision to, you know, walk away from the deal. The feds told him he was going to have to pay for it. And he said, well, I can't predict that, and I'm not going to pay for cost overrun.
Yeah, no doubt. You know what it's like if you bring in a construction crew or a contractor into your own house. It's double the time and double the money of what they quote you. And I don't disagree with it. I think you're probably right there. But now you look forward and you see what's going on with these commuters who are trying just to get their job. There was a woman from, it was Harrison. Now, I'm not sure why she doesn't take the PATH, because there's a PATH train in Harrison, New Jersey, but she comes in on New Jersey.
By the way, I like the PATH.
Yeah, the PATH is great. The PATH is great. But she came in from Harrison, New Jersey yesterday, which would be like a 16-minute ride. It took her 3 hours. 3 hours. And that's after two straight days of problems.
Don't underestimate, you know, the challenges for let's call it the Bridge and Tunnel Authority, right? They have huge pension obligations, right? And so increases in tolls and taxes to get across, I don't care if it's a toll or a bridge, that's going to help just a little bit help the obligation that they have to the pensions that they have obligations for. So when they have a budget problem, right, and they can't get federal money, they're just going to hit commuters, right? And the service and the on a renovation, reconstruction, or rehabilitation of whether it's a bridge or a tunnel, you know, somebody's got to pay for that. And ultimately, it's going to be the commuter.
Right. And Ted, thanks so much for your call. I appreciate it. I mean, I think you're right, of course. But I think for a lot of commuters, they'd say, look, I'll pay a little extra. Now they're going to be socked with 9% higher fare hikes. And they say, okay, look, and there's nothing we can do. They have these public hearings. They're kind of nonsense.
They have budget gaps, right?
And right.
The budget gaps are because of obligations they have to pensions that they can't close. And it's the same thing for New Jersey. It's the same thing for the MTA. It's the same thing for, you know, Governor Cuomo or de Blasio or whatever.
Right, and I get what you're talking about, Ted. But what I'm talking about here is it's the matter of making it easier. The idea of that tunnel was to get it so commuters could have a commute in every single morning that was hassle-free, and it hasn't been hassle-free for the last 3 days. And when you look at that tunnel and you see how old it is and how bad the wiring is, you realize that the governor was probably really off the mark. It was probably worth raising the gas tax to pay for it. Jack is in Brooklyn, and Jack, you're on 77 WABC.
Thanks, Tom. Hey, good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Noam.
Good morning.
All I was going to say is if you want the infrastructure...
Crash, if you could help me out there. Okay, go ahead. I didn't hear what you said.
I said, if you want infrastructure to keep crumbling, just keep voting for that party that shut down the government. That was 26th bill. And I think why Donald Trump is resonating, even with them Democrats, is because he wants to invest in infrastructure in the United States. He doesn't want to use Chinese steel on bridges and subways. And he wants to use union labor. He wants to pay Americans well. You know, when Christie embraced Obama after Hurricane Sandy, what a thing he set off. But you know what? Congress still hasn't taken care of the people in New York and New Jersey and Connecticut.
And it's all about this infrastructure. And, you know, you bring up a good point with the unions and Donald Trump. A couple of my friends are union construction workers, and they like Donald Trump. They say he's very fair with the unions. And I imagine that's not all across the board, but that he uses union workers in all of his buildings here in New York. So the construction unions tend to really like the Donald, and he's able to negotiate, I would imagine, great deals for himself because he's pretty smart that way, and great deals for those construction workers. But this tunnel, if they had started putting that shovel into the ground when Governor Christie knocked it down a couple of years ago, we'd be well on to building it. And then this commuter nightmare, this commuter hassle that's been going on for the last 3 days wouldn't be there. And so we're watching this as we speak. They are having the state Senate committee hearing in Trenton with State Senator Raymond Lesniak, who's from Union, New Jersey. That's in the middle of the state. And then State Senator Loretta Weinberg, who's from Bergen County. That's right closer to the, she's from right near the George Washington Bridge, in fact. These are two, by the way, they're two Governor Christie haters. I mean, there's nobody who hates them, the governor, more than these two. And so in that way, I understand that this bill is political. But when I read it and I say, well, why isn't Governor Christie paying for his own security detail when he leaves the state for 4 days out of a 7 day week? No. And then on top of that, when we go back in time, you think some of these decisions were not great decisions on his part. And one of them may have been that tunnel into and connecting New York and New Jersey that would have made it much easier for Amtrak to make it its way up and down the Northeast Corridor and for New Jersey transit trains to make it into the city every day. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Let's see, Gene is in Brooklyn. Gene, you're on 77 WABC.
Hi, Noam. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good, thank you. Yeah, my comment is, why is the media constantly picking on Chris Christie? First of all, I don't think he's significant for the presidency. But the fact is, the president's traveling all over the world for his own cause. It's not a unanimous cause for every American. And look at de Blasio. He's another one.
Yeah, that drives me crazy, right? So he's in Italy. Twice, right? He went on a family vacation, which is fine. He can do that. But then he goes back to Italy to speak at that climate conference at the Vatican.
Not a scientist, so
no.
Whatever he has to say. And look at the fact that Al Sharpton has been in and out of the White House over 100 times. And the other thing with Chris Christie hugging President Obama, he did that because he saw how much his people had suffered through that storm. So he was doing everything and anything he can to get the help for his people.
I don't disagree with you there. I think you're absolutely right, Gene. I think he did what he had to do to make sure to get the money and the help from the White House. And if that meant squeezing the president a month or hugging the president a month before his reelection, well, no, he cared about New Jersey first. So, you know, you got to give the governor credit where credit is due. And when it came to initial post-Sandy, the governor was excellent. I think in the long term, with the funding and getting money to the people in these towns that were hit so hard by Sandy on these beach towns, he hasn't done a great of a job. And you start to wonder why. I mean, is it all political the way the money's being given out? Or did he have his eyes already on the White House and figured Sandy was done? Because it's not. There's lots of people post-Sandy in New Jersey still suffering today. Pat, you are in New Jersey, and now you're on 77 WABC.
Hey, Noam. Yeah, I just had a comment. You know, you were talking about raising the gas tax to help pay for the tunnel rehabilitation. You know, I work in New Jersey. I'm a blue-collar worker. My wife's a teacher, and I've got two kids. Excuse me. The price of gas is killing us already. I mean, it's a difference between when we go food shopping or, you know, how much we're going to put in the gas tank. So I don't think it's fair that the gas tax should be raised to pay for something that, you know, I don't use at all.
Well, a couple pennies here and there gets people off the streets. Maybe it makes it easier for you to get around as you go to your job. There's less people driving. And you think about what it was like, Pat, 30 years ago, when before they really made this push for public transportation in a huge way in suburban towns in New Jersey, out in Connecticut. Those roads were a lot more clogged. I bet when you drive them in the morning, they're still clogged, but not as clogged as they used to be.
Yeah, but no, it's not a few pennies here and there. It adds up to a bunch of bucks by the end of the month. And if you look at it over the course of the year, it takes a couple $100 out of my income.
Yeah, well, I understand that.
It's not as little as you think. I mean, you guys make a little more money than I do.
Right.
For the average guy that's got to drive to work, got to put his tools in his truck and fill that tank up every week, it's a lot of money.
Yeah, well, I sympathize with that. I understand that, Pat. And thanks so much for your call. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. We're going to continue to take your phone calls right up until 12 o'clock when Curtis and Coopy take us over. Right now, it's Noam Layden in for HERALDO on 77 WABC. Hey, you know, I do this dopey little show every single morning at 5 a.m. if you're not up at that hour, but maybe you are and you're listening to the wrong station. It's called The News Hour, which is like just the stupidest name ever, but because it doesn't really describe the show. But it's me talking about the news for an hour, sort of similar to what we're doing here this morning. So from 5 to 6 right here on 77 WABC. You can always, of course, find the podcast on WABCradio.com. And if you want to follow me, if you're into the whole social media platform thing, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, at Noam Laden, N-O-A-M-L-A-D-E-N. Sometimes I put up risque pictures of my wife when she's not looking. So if, you know, if that's some reason that you want to go look, you can. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-HERALDO. Just a few minutes left talking about Governor Christie and the taxpayers, you know, picking up the bill for his security as he goes around the United States running for the White House, of course, mostly in New Hampshire and Iowa, South Carolina, those first primary and caucus states. And we're picking up the tab. And so right now in Trenton, they're talking about this, why New Jersey taxpayers should be picking that up when other campaigns like Scott Walker out of Wisconsin, he's picking up, his campaign's picking up those security costs because he said, no, why should the taxpayers foot the bill when I'm running for president? It has nothing to do with his job as governor. I kind of agree with that, even though this bill is highly political because it's the Democrats pushing it through in the state where, of course, a Republican is governor in New Jersey. Jeff in New Jersey. Jeff, you're on 77 WABC.
Hi, Noam. You have to see the humor in the fact that the traditional tax and spend party is now kind of pretending to be fiscally responsible. I kind of find that a little...
Yeah, I'm with you there,
and,
actually.
And with the tunnel, why don't we just give El Chapo some amnesty, and in return, he can build us the tunnel?
You know, you bring up an excellent point, Jeff, right? Look how fast they finished that tunnel, right? So it was 14 months El Chapo was in prison. So you have to think that the minute he was imprisoned, they started building that tunnel, and they finished it. It was a mile long, and they finished it in 14 months. What construction crew works that fast? We should get them to do the Second Avenue subway. I mean, that's taken forever. We should get them to do the tunnel now between New York and New Jersey, the new train tunnel. I think that's a great idea. Now, if we could just track those guys down. Jerry, in my hometown of Jersey City. Jerry, you're on 77 WABC.
Isn't it something that says that, you know, this law they're passing now after he already declared, okay, like a little too late, they're grandfathering this new law in just to embarrass him?
I think you're 100% correct. I mean, I'm the first one to tell you, it's Loretta Weinberg. I don't know if you follow Jersey politics, but she hates the governor, and the governor hates her, so she's putting this bill, anything to smack a political candidate around.
Well, I got news for you. He ain't going to be president. You know that, and I know that. I hope when he drops out, he picks up the biggest club and starts belting the two of them over the head and beating them into the ground.
Well, he's done that a little bit along the way.
Maybe they should have it done a little bit more to them, you know?
You know, maybe both back and forth. I wouldn't mind seeing that. A little cage match.
Instead of whack-a-mole, whack-a-pole.
Yeah, maybe we'll do it right here on 77 WABC. We'll bring them in. We'll put them in a cage, and the first person to get out alive is the first person who wins the match. Loretta Weinberg against Christie. Loretto is old. Christie is large, so it could make for kind of an interesting match. Geraldo, right. Geraldo could be the referee. Okay, Noam Laden filling in for the G-Man. We'll all be back bright and early tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Thanks for all your phone calls. Again, find me Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and then 5 a.m. on the NewsHour on 77 WABC. See you tomorrow.